Chapter 1. A Frosty Welcome. A thin layer of fog blanketed the shore ahead, and the ground glistened with frost. It was a sight not unlike some of Warvonia's colder days of winter. And yet, it was not winter. The calendar was well into August, not yet even the end of the harvest season, and still a few months away from the usual onset of frost. It was not even cold outside. The morning air was warm as it cut across the hull and deck of the Queenie, the famed ship of Captain Zael the Gale Murdoch. Captain Murdoch and a handful of crew members stood against the railing of the Queenie's upper deck, staring ahead in awed silence. Land was spotted not an hour ago. It was the shoreline where Warvonia's harbor once stood, lined with docks and crowded with ships of all sizes, from merchant cogs to fishing skiffs to private yachts. Some small vessels were present, tied to makeshift moorings or anchored away from the shore. A few others appeared abandoned, bobbing freely in the water amongst floating chunks of ice that kept them from drifting far out to sea. Zael paced the deck, frowning, his eyes fixed on the frigid-looking landscape. Not a single dock had been repaired since their departure. Doubtless, this strange freeze had something to do with it. Sudden angst filled Zael to get ashore as soon as possible, meet with the guild chief, and better understand what had happened.
"Find us a place to drop anchor, Dippy," he finally said to his first mate, Dabernon Doyle. "With no piers, we'll need to take the jollies to shore."
"Aye, sir,"
Dippy replied quietly, sweeping a hand over his short, dusty blonde hair. He tapped a few crewmates into action.
"It's been a month since we sailed from here,"
said Jensen Carrick. He stood unevenly, favoring his right leg. His left had taken a bad cut during his fight with Seadred back in the cave of Gukan some 20 days ago. It had been a move marked by bravery, a duel hard-fought using the captain's own saber.
"And everything's still frozen,"
said Starlina, Zael's daughter. She stood close beside Jensen, her new fiancé, clasping his hand. She was the young adult age of 16, Jensen about 3 years older.
"Wata wata free, rakata,"
said Boomer, their red panda anthropod from atop the rail. His gaze followed a passing ice floe.
"Frozen," said Jensen, despite the warm temperature outside.
Yancey Fump Willigan secured the sailyard's starboard clue line and joined them by the railing. A blue-knit cap rested within his thick auburn hair. He removed it, scratching at his beard. "That's something new," he remarked. "So, instead of ash, Darkfire apparently leaves frost and ice that don't melt." He leaned over the rail, squinting into the distance. "Maybe it's the fog, but it all looks kind of discolored to me."
"Yes, I see it," replied Jensen. "It looks dingy, more gray than white."
"We didn't see this happen before," said Yvette Shrew Caskmore, their coxswain in charge of the rowing team. She had the naturally bronzed skin of one born in the coral ash islands, where fishing and climbing trees for coconuts and plantains are aspects of everyday life. "There were no frosty remains from the Grimkin's fire."
"Those were the Grimkin's," said Zael. He pointed to the shore. "This was the handiwork of our would-have-been client, Vidimir. Everyone remembered well the violet plumes of Darkfire that had engulfed the harbor and rushed their departure just over a month ago. The chill of the flames burned into Zael's brain in ways typical fires never could. The whole experience had piqued his resolve and lured him to unilaterally change their course. It had become irresistible, that prize of legend, that object steeped in dark sorcery and myth, that treasure of his ancestry meant only for a worthy descendant of Augustus MacPherson to claim. The Grimstone. To find it, Zale had gambled their best and possibly last chance of surpassing the guild's mastery bar and achieving Grandmaster status. The ancient rules allowed this award to only one crew in any given year, with the end of August as the deadline. With Grandmaster status would have come influence, flexibility, and riches not attained by a crew of Warvonia for more than a century. Influence, flexibility, and riches, Zale came to realize, mean little if there is no world left in which to enjoy them.